بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال تعالى: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. With the grace of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we were speaking on the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we discussed the four important ahadith which were highlighted by great imams like Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi, wherein he had mentioned that these four ahadith are sufficient for a person's deen. Inshallah, from today, we intend to start the kitab Al-Arba'een Al-Nawawiyyah. This is the famous kitab of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, wherein he had compiled 42 ahadith. And there's also an introduction of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, wherein he explains the virtue of compiling 40 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will discuss a bit from the introduction of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, but first we wish to speak on the author himself. Remember, whenever we study any kitab, whenever we do any kitab, we have to first understand who is the author and what type of personality he was. And pious people, generally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places nur in their words. Allah ta'ala puts barakat in their kitabs. Because they were pious people, they were the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with His special favors and bounties. And there's nur and barakat in their words. There's nur and barakat in their kitabs. People benefit. These are the kitabs that can change people's lives, that can transform people from being ordinary people to becoming luminaries of the time. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi was a very great personality. He was born in the year 631. And Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi passed away in the year 676. This is the Hijri year. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a life of 45 years. But the work that he had done in this 45 years, people who lived double that amount of time could not achieve that type of work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had selected him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen him. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, His actual name was Yahya. So he goes as Abu Zakariya, Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi. So his name was Yahya, and his father's name was Sharaf. And Nawawi, actually he lived in a place that was called Nawa. So he was born in the year 631 in the month of Muharram at Nawa in Huran, that is close to Damascus. And he passed away on the 24th of Rajab in the year 676. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him from a very young age. Ulama explain, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi was 7 years of age. His father was also a great personality, and it was the 27th night of Ramadan. He was sleeping next to his father. In the middle of the night, around half the night, he wakes up and he says, "What is all this noor and light?" So his father wakes up, the other people of the home also wake up, and they cannot see anything. But then his father realizes that it must be Laylatul Qadr. So at that young age of 7 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already blessed him where he could see things like noor and light. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen this personality. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is a leading scholar in the Shafi mazhab. To such an extent, they say after Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, he has a very distinguished position in the mazhab of the Shafis. When Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi says anything, they take it as final. His verdicts, his fatwas are widely accepted, and he was a personality of great acceptance. From a very young age, he showed signs of great intelligence. When other boys of his age used to force him to play with them, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi would refrain from playing, and he would remain busy reciting the Quran Sharif. When they attempted to convince him and insisted on his joining their games, he then expressed aversion to their foolish action, saying to them, "Have we been created for this purpose?" Imagine, this is a young boy, and at this age Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with this understanding, that he understands what have we been created for. What an important lesson it is for every one of us. Whenever we engage ourselves in any activity, we need to ask ourselves, have we been created for this? Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for this purpose? So the ulama explain, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi was very, very particular about his time. Throughout the day, he would remain busy. And in his student days, even when he was walking on the road, he wasn't wasting time. So if he was going to the madrasa, or he was going to the masjid, that time also he was learning, he was memorizing, he wasn't wasting the time. So, and the night, for a very short while of the night would he sleep. Most of the night was spent in ibadat and in acquiring knowledge. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi kept himself busy writing, spreading knowledge, making ibadat, fasting, reciting the Quran Sharif. Never wasted any time. Even while he was traveling, he was very, very busy, always occupied in acquiring knowledge. So this is a very important lesson for us. Time is our most valuable asset. If we utilize our time correctly, there's no limit to what one can achieve, provided he values his time. If we can value our time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us immensely with great knowledge. So we are utilizing the time in listening to a bayan, listening to a lecture, listening to a lesson, or reading a very authentic, beneficial book. So we are learning. When we learn, first of all, we have got knowledge. That knowledge is going to go with us in the qabr. When we pass away, it's not our clothing, it's not our vehicles, it's not our palatial homes. What is going to go with us when we're going to go into the qabr? It's our iman, it is the good deeds that we had, our good qualities, and knowledge. Knowledge is something that no one can take away from you, especially in these days of ignorance, these days of darkness. We need to have pure and pristine knowledge. So when we utilize our time in acquiring knowledge and learning, the more we learn, the more we benefit. The more we learn, the more we grow. The more we learn, the more we progress. So we person can spend his time in futile activities. What does he achieve? He'll achieve nothing. The time will pass and he will achieve nothing. Someone is spending his time in sports. He's spending his time playing paddle. What did he achieve? Is there anything? Did he leave behind a rich legacy? No, there's nothing. That person, whatever he did, the time is wasted. But when we're spending our time in something beneficial, in knowledge, then one is we benefit, first of all. Our hearts are illuminated with knowledge. We are inspired with that knowledge. We are motivated in the right direction. We are giving our children also the right direction. We are disseminating the correct information because we have got that information. We are giving them valuable advices. A good advice, words of wisdom, is one of the best gifts you can give anyone. You gave someone, for example, a beautiful cloak, or you gave them a handbag. How long are they going to use that for? Few years, and after that it will be finished. There will be no need for it. After some, even maybe a few more years, it will be thrown away. But the words of wisdom is something that will remain with a person. It will help him throughout his life. It will be a means of guiding him and showing him the right direction. And he may disseminate those words of wisdom to someone else. Someone else will benefit. We may be gone from this dunya, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi, hundreds of years have passed. And Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi is gone from this dunya. But we are still studying his kitab. We are still speaking about him. He is getting all the reward in his qabr. All the benefit is going to him. So what a rich legacy he left behind. If we leave the same rich legacy behind us, then inshallah we will be gone into the qabr. We will be in another realm. But the rewards and benefits will still be reaching us. Recently a person told me, the person is already in his 60s, and he told me that his mother taught him a lot of lessons in life. His mother was a pious woman, good woman, and she taught him a lot of lessons. But one of the lessons he told me that his mother taught him is that it takes many years to build up your reputation and your respect. But you can lose your respect within minutes and within seconds. So be so careful and particular as to what you do and what you say and how you behave and who you interact with and who is your company. Because you can just lose your respect, you can lose your reputation. So alhamdulillah, this person's mother is gone from the dunya, she has passed on, but he's still holding on to that advice. How many people he may share that advice to? How many people may benefit from? So this is a very important lesson we learn from the life of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, that he was very particular about his time. He never wasted his time. And then look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him. Imam Yafi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned in his book Mir'atul Jinan that it is very difficult to find a person equal to Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi in his abstinence from the dunya, in his piety, in his etiquettes, in his beautiful character. There was no extravagance in his life. He detached himself from the attachments and the attractions of this world to such an extent that in addition to this modest lifestyle, he felt he could not fulfill the responsibilities of nikah. So he did not get married. And Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilized him for the work of deen. In the 45 years life he had, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to do so much of work, so many kitabs that he had prepared, so much of knowledge that was disseminated. It is mentioned that once Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh was summoned by a king who told him to sign a document passing a verdict in which there was a fatwa legalizing something haram in the Shariat. Remember, these mashayikh and these great luminaries, they never sold a deen. They never sold a deen, and they never were puppets for the kings of the time. They always remained firm. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh blankly refused. The king became furious and told his subordinates to strip him of his rank. The people said, "O king, this man has no high standing for us to demote him from. He was never a man chasing after fame. He always was in search of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." The king thus ordered that he be removed from his dwelling and that it be raised to the ground. The people said, "O king, this man has no home. He lives in the Darul Hadith in a small room." The king then ordered that his wealth and riches be seized. The people said, "O king, this man has no money and he owns nothing." That person who owns nothing, then nothing can own him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, apart from the Arba'in, among the other famous kitabs that he has got, one is Riyadus Salihin. Many girls madrasas, they study the Riyadus Salihin. And also he had written a very beautiful commentary on Sahih Muslim. After Sahih Bukhari, the most authentic kitab is Sahih Muslim. And Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi had written a very detailed commentary on Sahih Muslim. People who teach this kitab till this day and time, they require the commentary of Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh. It's also mentioned about Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh that in the day he would only have one meal. He would not eat excessively. And he also mentioned that certain types of fruits he would stay away from. And he said he fears that there will be phlegm and moisture that will spread in the body and it will make him sleepy. So that is why he does not eat those fruits and those types of foods. So this is, alhamdulillah, the kitab that we wish to start, the author. This is his personality, this is his position, this is his rank. It is mentioned that Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh, on one occasion, he traveled for Hajj with his father. So departing from Sham, from Syria, they proceeded to Medina Munawwara, where they spent a month. Thereafter, they went to Makkah Mukarramah. For the entire duration of this journey, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh was extremely ill with a fever. His father mentioned that he did not complain even once. Although he was sick and he had to undertake a journey in this condition, in those days and times when it wasn't difficult to travel, it wasn't easy to travel, it was extremely difficult, but Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh never complained. He was always pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should always be our condition. Whatever condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us in, we need to be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us in. And understand that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything has got some hidden wisdom, whether we understand that wisdom or we do not understand the wisdom. Slightly before Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh passed away, it would seem as though he had some sort of an idea that his time is coming to an end. So then he went to the Qabristan, wherein there were some of his ustads. He went there, he made dua, he cried, and he was also buried in that same Qabristan. But before that, he returned all the kitabs that he borrowed, teaching us also another very important lesson here, that if we have got any amanat of anyone, sometimes we borrow something, we must make sure we return it, we give it back to the owner. Sometimes someone sends something to the home in a utensil, a container, a Tupperware. So we give that back to the owner. We should not forget about that. So he returned all the kitabs that were borrowed, and then he visited the Baytul Muqaddas, and he visited Hebron al-Khalil, where the grave of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is. And when he came back to his hometown, Nawa, Ya Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi fell sick, and shortly after that, he passed away. So as we mentioned, he lived a life for about, his life was around 45 years, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every person has come into this dunya with a lifespan. Every person, every child is born with a fixed lifespan. And you cannot alter that, you cannot change it. Whatever the lifespan is, that is what the person will live for. But we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our life beneficial. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with a life that is filled with good deeds. And especially the last part of our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ij'al khayra umri akhirahu wa khayra a'mali khawatimahu wa khayra ayami yawma alqaka fi. One of the du'as we encourage to make is, O Allah, make the end of my life the best part of my life, and make my best actions my final actions. A person can live his whole life as a saint, as a very pious person, but just before he passes away, his condition can change, and he can become a person far away from deen, far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to constantly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the straight path, right till our last moment, right till our last breath. Allah ta'ala takes us away from this dunya with perfect iman, complete iman, in the condition that Allah is pleased to meet us, and we are pleased to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he starts his kitab Arba'in with an introduction. I wish to read some parts from the introduction, directly from the kitab. I will read it, translate it, and explain it. In it, he mentions the virtue of retaining 40 hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where a person preserves and he retains 40 hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there's virtue for this person. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi starts his kitab praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, قيوم السماوات والأرضين مدبر الخلائق أجمعين. All praise belongs to Allah, Lord of the worlds, who is in complete control of the heavens and the earth, and who is administrating the entire creation. Everything that is happening in this world is happening with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's happening with the administration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ba'ithi Rusuli Salawatullahi wa Salamu Alihim Ajmain. Allah Ta'ala is that being who sent prophets. Allah Ta'ala created mankind, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets, approximately 124,000 anbiya, to give direction to mankind. And this deen he blessed us with is such a beautiful deen that we have got step by step guidelines for every facet of our lives. Whether it is our ibadat, whether it is our wuzu, whether it is our roza, whether it is our nikahs, whether it is our janazas, every facet of our lives, we have got step-by-step guidelines. So if we understand these guidelines, and we follow these guidelines, we adhere by these guidelines, inshallah, definitely we will be successful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent anbiya alayhimus salam ila al-mukallafin, to people, lihidayatihim, وَبَيَانِ شَرَاعِ الدِّينِ, for their guidance, to explain them the different injunctions of deen, بِالدَّلَائِلِ الْقَطْئِيَةِ وَوَاضِحَاتِ الْبَرَاهِينِ, with absolute proofs and with manifest evidence. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this dunya with the Quran Sharif, the miracle that continues for years and years, the living miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wabi sunanil mustanirati lil mustarshideen. He sent him with sunnats and a lifestyle that illuminates the way for people who are seeking guidance. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed with Jawami'ul Kalim. One of the outstanding features in the life of Rasulullah ﷺ is that he would say a few words, but in those few words, there was volumes of lessons and oceans of knowledge. So that was Jawami'ul Kalim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah ﷺ with this very easy and beautiful deen. After this, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi quotes the hadith from Hazrat Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Darda, Hazrat Abu Huraira, Ibn Abbas, Ibn Umar, Hazrat Anas ibn Malik, Abu Sa'idin al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhum, from different sources this hadith had come. من حفظ على أمتي 40 حديثا من أمر دينها بعثه الله يوم القيامة في زمرة الفقهاء والعلماء. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whosoever preserves for my ummah, he transmits for my ummah 40 ahadith concerning matters of the religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect him on the day of judgment in the company of the jurists and religious scholars. Some narrations got that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect him as an alim, as a jurist. Some narrations got, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will intercede for this person. I will be a witness on his behalf. Some narrations have got, udkhul min ayyi abwabil jannati shi'ta. That person will be said, on the day of Qiyamah, it will be said to him, enter from whichever doors of Jannat you wish to enter. So this person will have a very high position on the day of Qiyamah. And let us make this intention that we are studying these 40 ahadith. In fact, the kitab has got 42 ahadith. He added two more. So we are studying these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to learn them. We're going to preserve them. We're going to practice on them. And we're going to propagate them. We're going to teach them to our children, to our families. These are the wording of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the prophetic traditions. These are the words that need to be written in gold. These are the words that we need to live by and we need to die by. We need to cherish these words. We need to give them a very important place in our minds and our hearts. These are the words that need to be echoing and ringing in our minds all the time. Not that everything else is echoing and we have forgotten about the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is one of the major problems of the ummah in this day and time. We are concerned about everything else and everyone else, but we have forgotten Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have forgotten the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, then after mentioning this hadith and the different wording and narrations, he said that there are many, many ulama who have compiled kitabs like this. The first that we know of was the great luminary Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi. And then after that, Ibn Aslam At-Tusi, Hassan ibn Sufyan An-Nasa'i, Abu Bakr Al-Ajuri, Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Ibrahim Al-Asfahani, Imam Daraqutni, Hakim Abu Nu'im, Abu Abdirrahman As-Sulami, Abu Sa'idin Al-Malini, Abu Usman As-Sabuni, Abdullah ibn Muhammad Al-Ansari, Abu Bakr Al-Bayhaqi, many, many people have compiled kitabs of this nature, wherein they compiled 40 hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, I also made istikhara and I also asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq, and I also wanted to follow in the footsteps of these great luminaries. And I thought to myself, let me also compile a kitab of this nature. This hadith that we spoke about, man hafidha ala ummati 40 hadithan, that whoever preserves for my ummah 40 ahadith, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, although this hadith is a weak hadith, but when it comes to fadail and when it comes to virtues, then you can practice on a weak hadith. Another principle that governs a weak hadith is that if a weak hadith has been quoted from different sources, from different narrations, then that weak hadith no more remains weak. Then it becomes strong and it gets some strength and you can practice on it. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi says, but remember, this is not the only hadith that we have got before us. See, whenever these people did anything, then they had the hadith of Rasulullah in front of them. He said there are also other authentic ahadith. For example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبِ. He said, those who are present should convey the message to those who are absent. So he told the Sahaba, you all are present now, you are hearing my advice, I want you to convey my message. And it was the efforts of Sahaba and the great Imams that they have preserved the knowledge. So over 1400 years has passed, but we are still conveying the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, and we also mentioned this in the introduction to this hadith lesson, نَدَّلَ اللَّهُ مْرَأً سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَوَعَاهَا فَأَدَّاهَا كَمَا سَمِعَهَا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep that person fresh, meaning may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep that person happy who hears my words, and then he memorizes it, he retains it, and then he passes it on exactly as he had heard it. And you will find there were certain scholars who taught the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and till the end of their lives, if you looked at their faces, it was always very, very fresh, and their faces was always filled with nur and light, and you could see that these people were very, very happy people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with that happiness. This was through the barakat of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately now, we are occupying ourselves with everything else, but how many people are actually desirous of listening to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understanding, practicing and emulating the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi quotes this hadith. He says these are authentic ahadith, and we are keeping these ahadith in front of us. He says the ulama who compiled 40 ahadith, some of them compiled 40 ahadith regarding the beliefs and certain principles of deen. Some compiled regarding certain injunctions and deductions. There are some compiled 40 ahadith pertaining to the laws of jihad. Then there are some that compiled 40 ahadith regarding abstinence from the dunya. Some compiled 40 ahadith regarding etiquettes. Some compiled 40 ahadith regarding speeches and advices. These are all good things. But he said, I wanted to compile 40 ahadith more important than all of that. This 40 ahadith that I have compiled, it comprises of all of those different teachings. And every hadith is a very, very important principle of deen. One of the reasons why our understanding is not good is we have not understood the foundational principles. Once we understand a principle and we understand it very well and we apply it and we bring it into our lives, then inshallah we will get a better understanding of deen. So he says that the hadith that I have brought, sometimes one hadith is such that ulama mentioned that the whole basis of Islam is on this hadith. Or some are such that ulama mentioned that they are half of Islam, or one third of Islam, or a very, very important part of Islam. Then he says that I was very particular that these 40 ahadith all are authentic. And most of these ahadith appear in the two very authentic books of hadith, that is the Sahih Bukhari and the Sahih Muslim. After the Quran Sharif, ulama explained, the most authentic book on the surface of this earth is Sahih Bukhari, and after Sahih Bukhari is Sahih Muslim. However, he says that I have dropped out the chains of the narrations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it's easy for people to memorize it and people can benefit from it. It's not difficult. So you look at, this is also a speciality of our deen, isnad. Every hadith that we have, if you are hearing this hadith from me, for example, from me, right till Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a very, very solid chain. A chain of luminaries, of great people. So whoever we learned from, our ustads, they will tell you who are their ustads. And generally, those who came from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, it goes to Hazrat Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali. Then from Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali, right till the author of the book, for example, Imam Bukhari or Imam Muslim, he has got his chain. Then Imam Bukhari, right till Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he quotes his chain. Every single person that has appeared. And as I mentioned, all these people were great luminaries. And that is now, you understand, true knowledge is when we get that knowledge from an authentic source. In the past, if anyone mentioned anything, the first question people asked him was, who are your ustads? And if he did not have any ustads, if it was self-study, or if, for example, his ustads were corrupt people, they were doubtful characters, then they never took to them. They said, sorry, you don't have knowledge. We cannot take anything from you. People were so particular to get their knowledge from the right sources. Unfortunately, nowadays, we will read a book, we will not even know who the author is. The author could be a non-Muslim. The author could be a completely deviated person. We're reading the book, not understanding that instead of getting knowledge, we are getting more confused. Because the author is a deviated person, is a misguided person, he has got no direction in his own life. How can someone who has got no direction in his own life give us direction? Sometimes we are listening to a bayan, we are listening to a program. Now, we listen to bayans, unfortunately it's for entertainment. So if the person is a good speaker, and he can use some high words, and he can sway the crowd in a certain direction, the people want to listen. But not realizing that the purpose of listening to the lecture is to get direction and guidance, and how particular we need to be of where we take our knowledge from. Imam Muhammad bin Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi was a very great scholar of his time, very great muhaddis. He mentioned something very beautiful. He said, "Inna hadha al-ilma deenun, fanzuru amman ta'khudhuna deenakum." Verily, this knowledge is your deen. So be careful of where you take your deen from. Because anything else, even your life, is not as important as your deen. If you went to the wrong doctor, the worst case scenario, he'll give you some medication, you'll die. But if you got iman, inshallah, you will still go to Jannat. You will still, the akhirat is there for you. You're going to have, inshallah, all the rewards for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waiting there for us. But if you lose your iman and you lose your deen, Allah protect, but there will be devastating consequences. Sometimes in this dunya, we will have to suffer the consequences. And what will be the consequences after we leave this world? So we need to be very particular. This is part of our deen, al-isnanu min ad-deen. You have to always have a very reliable chain. When you are quoting anything, you are saying anything, you got it from a reliable source, from a reliable kitab. And if you do not have that, then it can be something misguiding, it can be something that's misleading. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, then he ends up this introduction wherein he says, وَيَنْبَغِي لِكُلِّ رَاغِبٍ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَنْ يَعْرِفَ هَذِي الْأَحَادِيثِ. It is essential for every person desirous in the akhirat that he should know these ahadith. These ahadith that I brought are very, very important ahadith, and they've got some very, very important points. And every person who is desirous of the akhirat, every person who wants reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who wants direction, then he should have the knowledge of this ahadith. Inshallah, in our next session, we will do the first hadith. The first hadith, we had already discussed it, but we will do the translation again, and inshallah maybe a very brief explanation, and we will continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the true understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the knowledge of his deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah also resurrect us with scholars, great ulama, great muhaddisin, sahaba, anbiya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make us beacons of light. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us such that we leave behind us a rich legacy for our children, for our progenies, for our subordinates. It must not be that we waste our life in futile activities. We waste our life in worldly pursuits. Then obviously we will be remorseful, and we will be regretting in the akhirat when we see great scholars and the rewards that they received, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored them and Allah has blessed them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also honor us and bless us. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعافية اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.